Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
This morning's Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 29. Is it not yet a very little while until Lebanon shall be turned into a fruitful field, and the fruitful field shall be regarded as a forest? In that day the deaf shall hear the words of a book, and out of their gloom and darkness the eyes of the blind shall see. The meek shall obtain fresh joy in the Lord, and the poor among mankind shall exult in the Holy One of Israel. For the ruthless shall come to nothing, and the scoffer cease, and all who watch to do evil shall be cut off. Who by a word make a man out to be an offender, and lay a snare for him who reproves in the gate, and with an empty plea turn aside him who is in the right? Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall no more be ashamed, no more shall his face grow pale. For when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will sanctify my name. They will sanctify the Holy One of Jacob, and will stand in awe of the God of Israel. And those who go astray in spirit will come to understanding, and those who murmur will accept instruction. This is the word of the Lord. Please join me in saying the catechetical review found in your bulletin. The Sacrament of the Altar. What is the sacrament of the altar? It is the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine, instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? These words, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, show us that in the sacrament, forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are given us through these words. For where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things? Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with the bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words has exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins. The epistle reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now if the ministry of death, carved in letters on stone, came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all, because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was being brought to an end came with glory, much more will what is permanent have glory. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel for the 12th Sunday of Trinity from the Gospel of St. Mark, the 7th chapter. Jesus returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis, and they brought to him a man who was deaf and had speech impediment. and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his finger into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephrathah," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated as we continue with the hymn of the day. Amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you again for your gifts, your real and precious gifts that come to us in water and word, bread and wine, for us, for the forgiveness of our sins and the strengthening of our faith. At your word, Father, strengthen our faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There couldn't be a better time for this sermon to fall on. You've seen it. You've seen the miracle of God happen just a minute ago And you'll see it again in a few minutes. By God's command, with God's word, with his promise, he gave faith to Dylan. Made him his own child. Gave him eternal promises. Completely changed his identity. Not by anything Dylan did, not by anything that we've done, but by God's great love for him and for all mankind. He comes to us. He gives us his gifts. And he gives us his gifts in a very real and physical way. This morning we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper as we always do. Another miracle and mystery with the same result. God comes to us. He comes to us in his real presence, in bread and wine, with real promises for you of eternal life, forgiveness of sins, and the strengthening of your faith. We have such a gift in this gift of the divine service that we gather every Sunday and we use to worship. We celebrate the means of grace, which is just a formal way of saying God comes to us to give us his good and his precious gifts. What is the means that God uses to give his gifts to us? Water and word, bread and wine. He comes to us in such humble means that we all too quickly dismiss them as unimportant or common. We would expect the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords to come to us and to be in our presence with trumpet fanfare and angels and archangels. We would expect him to come to us in all of his glory and majesty as he's described in Revelation, with eyes of flame and his clothes dripped in blood. But our Lord doesn't come to us to terrify us. He comes to us in simple means to comfort us, to draw us to himself. He comes to us humbly to serve us, to love us, to give us his good gifts. Our King comes to us in flesh and blood, born of a virgin, born in a barn. Jesus always comes to us. He always comes to seek and to save the lost. He comes to put his name on us in baptism, to give us a new identity, child of the Most High God, forgiven, redeemed, at peace. He comes to give us his supper, that we again receive the forgiveness that only he can give to us. When we talk about the means of God's grace and the way that he comes to us, the way that he serves us in baptism and the Lord's Supper, we talk about the means of grace or the sacraments with three qualifications, three marks of a sacrament. In order for something to be considered a sacrament, God has to command us to do it. So if you go back to the beginning of the divine service and you see the biblical references for baptism, they take us to Matthew 28. Jesus says, continue going into the world, baptizing and teaching in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If we look in Matthew and Mark and Luke and St. Paul, we'll hear Jesus again saying to the disciples and to us, take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this. The command is there in both places. The command to be baptized and to receive the Lord's Supper is not driven by the law. Do this, and then you can be saved. The command is so that Jesus can serve us. Completely opposite of how we think it should be. Because these gifts come to us in such a common way, such a humble way, many people dismiss them as unimportant. I've had a lot of conversations with parents, with little kids. We talk about baptism, and the parents say to me, well, we're going to let the child decide when and how and if they want to be baptized. But I can bet that every single one of those parents has never hesitated to give that child a gift or 20 at Christmas or at their birthday. Even though the child, the first birthday, is too young to remember, the parents buy the gift, they wrap the gift, they give the gift, they even help the baby unwrap the gift, and they teach the baby to play with the gift because they love the gift. They love the baby, and they want the baby to have this gift. It is so similar in baptism. Our Lord loves us, and baptism does not depend on us. Out of God's great grace and mercy, He gives the gift in baptism. He gives the Holy Spirit. He gives us faith to believe. Even when we're young and an infant in the pastor's arms, He gives saving faith to that child because He loves them and He wants them to have the gifts. It's the same way in the means of grace in baptism. God gives and we receive. As we gather here in just a few moments, God gives body and blood. In with and under the bread and wine is the real Jesus given to you because He loves you for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith. The second qualification for a sacrament is it has a promise from God attached to it. The promise in both baptism and the Lord's Supper is the same. It's the forgiveness of your sins by connecting you with Jesus, connecting you to the cross. You see, it's the nature of God to heal, to restore, to forgive, and to give us His good gifts. If you remember the Old Testament reading from last Sunday, it was the story of Cain killing his brother Abel. And even in that story, even in Cain killing his own brother, God was merciful. And He put a mark upon Cain that would protect him from anyone else killing him so that Cain would have time to repent and to live in the forgiveness that God gives to us. In the gospel reading for today, Jesus comes to a man who was born deaf and because of that, poor speech. And Jesus comes to the man and He heals him. He gives him hearing. He clears up and clarifies his speech. Not because the man deserved it, but because Jesus loves him and does not want him to suffer. Jesus restores. Jesus comes to restore, to give, and He always does it physically. The third qualification for a sacrament is that it has a physical element. Jesus comes to us to give us these good and precious gifts. It's always grounded in the physicalness of our humanity. The Son of God was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, the second member of the Holy Trinity, put aside His Godhead and was incarnate, conceived in the womb of a humble virgin. He had hands that gathered the little children to Him and said that unless you become like one of these, trusting, you can never enter the kingdom of God. He had fingers that drew a line in the sand, and as He spoke to the self-righteous, and He said, "You that have no sin, you throw the first stone." He had a voice that loudly spoke from the cross. Moments before the end of His life, He said, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And your sin was finished, paid for by Jesus on the cross. His very physical suffering and death, His blood from the cross covers you and forgives all your sins and gives you eternal promises. The gift of your salvation comes in a very physical way. Look behind me at the window. We see our Savior there. We see Jesus completing the work that His Father gave Him to do. Obediently, yet lovingly, Jesus comes into our world with that purpose, to end up on the cross. And as He's there and it's late in the day, they want those on the cross to be taken down so they can still observe the feast. So they want to make sure that Jesus is dead. The soldier is given the order, take the spear, poke it into His side. And He did. And out came blood and water. From the very side of Jesus comes the means of grace, the water of baptism. that washes over us and gives us faith and connects us to Jesus. His very blood on the Lord's Supper, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Water and the Word of God in baptism take us to this very moment in history and connect you there to the cross. And when Jesus said, "It is finished," he spoke those words to you. Your sins are forgiven because of Christ on the cross. Our Father promised us a Savior, and he delivered. And in baptism, that gift is delivered to you. The blood from Jesus' side, which he talked about with his disciples the very night before he was arrested, he said, "Take and drink. This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this. It is the blood of Christ that covers your sins." Yes, it's a mystery. I can't explain it. In, with, and under the bread and wine is the very risen Jesus Christ for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Jesus' blood covers us, and yet we're white and holy and pure. He comes to restore us. He comes to give us a peace that the world cannot give. He comes to give us eternal promises that are not ever changed. All of that is gift to us. Unfortunately, it's a gift that so many people don't see a need for. Imagine a husband and wife. They're married. The first few years of marriage are great. The wife starts traveling for her job, and she's traveling a lot. The more she travels, the more she finds she isn't at home. She's calling and talking to her husband, but even as she travels more, she calls less and less. And before long, she doesn't concern herself with her husband. She doesn't call home. But yet, if you would ask her, "Are you married?" she would say, "Well, of course I'm married." But if you asked her husband, he would give you a different answer. Our Lord, the most holy bridegroom, offers the gift of himself to his bride, us, every Sunday. Jesus for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, the strengthening of your faith. And many see this as unimportant. If you ask them, they might very well say, "Yes, I'm Christian, I know who Jesus is." But he might very well have a different answer. "I don't know who you are." There is an author, he is a Lutheran Swedish bishop. His name is Bo Gertz. And he said this about the Lord's Supper. "The Lord's Supper will always be the center of a Christian's life in the living church. Neglecting it is a warning sign that one's faith is about to expire." Luther himself commented in the Large Catechism something very similar. He said, "If you don't commune at least four times a year, you should not consider yourself Christian." You see, this isn't a matter of qualification saying, "Well, I have to do it four times a year now." This is a matter of our old flesh wants to despise the gifts that God gives to us. And it is these gifts of body and blood, bread and wine, that continue to strengthen our faith and draw us back to receive the gifts that Jesus gives to us. The means of grace, the way that God our Father delivers his good and perfect gifts to us, is not insignificant or irrelevant. Holy baptism, the Holy Supper, are Jesus for you. Forgiveness of sins delivered to you in a physical way with an eternal promise by the command of God. God uses these means and this sacrament to give Jesus to you, to give forgiveness to you of all your sins. Every time we gather in the divine service, these gifts are wrapped with your name on them. Sometimes, like today, we get to see it firsthand, God doing this mighty miracle and mystery in the waters of baptism. But we see it every Sunday right here. "Take and eat, this is my body. Take and drink, this is my blood for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." We gather by the invitation of God himself, and we come into this place beaten and bruised and bloodied by the world and our own sin. And God, our Father, lavishly gives us Jesus for you, for your forgiveness. And then he invites us to this feast, this most high wedding feast. And he has a place here for you. And he is the one who serves, and he serves you himself for the forgiveness of your sins and the strengthening of your faith, for your strength and for your peace, for hope and promise. These gifts are real, and they're physical, and they're for you, and they're Jesus for you. They're wrapped, and they have your name on them, and they're waiting for you as God always is giving you, delivering to you his love and his mercy and his forgiveness, and he does that all through the side of Jesus. This is the means of grace that God uses to save us. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.